From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Minnesota's freshman Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has become a leading target of right-wing threats, with her office reporting this week that death threats have surged after President Donald Trump posted a video of her. Trump wrote the words, "We will never forget," in capital letters, alongside a video of Omar speaking at a CARE event about the attacks on Muslim civil rights in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Earlier in April, a man who takes Trump's words seriously was arrested for threatening her. He told press that he loves Trump and that he, quote, hates radical Muslims in our government. Trump made no attempt whatsoever to distance himself from the man. Instead, he has doubled down in a way that many worry is an open call to his supporters to use violence against the black Muslim congresswoman. Tens of thousands of people have signed a petition calling on Facebook and Twitter to permanently suspend Trump's accounts, saying we don't have to give hate a platform. My guest is Arielle Gold, National Co-Director of Code Pink, and she manages the organization's campaigns for Palestinian rights. Welcome to the program, Arielle.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
So last time we had talked to you was when Ilhan Omar was facing accusations of anti-Semitism for simply calling out the influence of the American-Israel Public Affairs Council on our lawmakers. She was accused not just by Republicans, but by Democrats. Now we're talking about Ilhan Omar literally becoming a target of right-wing violence because of our president. First, how do you assess Nancy Pelosi's defense of Ilhan Omar? Is Ilhan Omar, you think, getting enough support from her own colleagues?
Well, initially, I think not enough people in the Democratic Party spoke up to condemn this shameful incitement to violence from President Trump. Now, Pelosi has gone further today, assessing the threats against Omar and her family, and calling for Donald Trump to take down his vile, dangerous video. Now, the problem with that there is that we all know who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is somebody who openly espouses racism, anti-Muslim hatred, and anti-Semitism himself. And this is absolutely a call to his supporters to take on an act of violence. And we all know in this heavily loaded with guns country what that looks like. So I think that President Trump is the wrong target for Pelosi to say that he needs to take down that video. The video needs to be taken down by Twitter and Facebook, who have rules against the spreading of hate on their platforms.
I mentioned the one specific tweet that he had initially pinned to the top of his Twitter account, but then unpinned. It still remains on his account. But Trump also posted a separate tweet. It was a retweet from someone else saying that Ilhan Omar was a sick monster and asking how is this woman walking the halls of Congress? That tweet isn't getting nearly as much attention as the other one. But I mean, it literally, you know, to call Ilhan Omar a sick monster. What kind of sick monster would say such things, apparently? So it's all pretty clear. Trump has not said anything about the man who threatened Ilhan Omar with violence. And I just imagine what sort of a world we live in. If we lived in any other world, I'm thinking of George W. Bush, who went out of his way to try to make it clear that his policies again in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars and in attacking American civil rights had nothing to do with Muslims and that he loved Muslims. I can only imagine if Bush's words had been interpreted in such a way that even he would have probably gone out of his way to distance himself and say, I don't condone this kind of act of violence. Trump didn't say that.
Can we really be surprised? This is a man who, after Charlottesville, refused to walk back his revolting good people on both sides. So, you know, we have tweet after tweet at this point, which are really barely shielded calls for violence against a sitting member of Congress. And this is an incredibly, incredibly dangerous situation. Representative Omar represents everything that white nationalists want Americans to fear and hate. She is visibly Muslim. She's a strong Black woman, a refugee, somebody who speaks her mind, speaks truth to power, is willing to take the risk to call for Palestinian rights, is willing to do so in congressional hearings, during press conferences. She advocates for an end to the war in Yemen and against Trump's Muslim ban. So she is absolutely everything that Trump is looking to destroy. And in this case, he's looking to destroy her with an act of violence, and he's putting out a dog whistle to his face.
So, of course, his surrogates deny this in the press. And on Monday, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the following when questioned about it on television.
Certainly the president is wishing no ill will and certainly not violence towards anyone, but the president is absolutely and should be calling out the congresswoman for her not only one time but history of anti-Semitic comments. The bigger question is, why aren't Democrats doing the same thing?
And that is Sarah Huckabee Sanders, press secretary, speaking on ABC's This Week. Quite remarkable, Ariel, that she has, you know, she said that Trump certainly wishes no ill will toward this woman, but, I mean, it almost doesn't matter what comes after the word but. He wishes no ill will, but. How do you respond?
Well, but he likes to refer to her as a monster, but he likes to put out calls to violence against her. And again, we are talking about an extreme racist president who is consistently putting out dog whistle calls to white nationalists and has himself committed so many acts of anti-Semitism, they're becoming difficult to count.
Let's talk about the petition asking for social media accounts to suspend Trump's accounts. I mean, these, you know, Facebook and Twitter in particular, is the way in which Trump bypasses traditional media outlets to express himself to the world. And he's only able to do so because Twitter allows him to do so, right?
Absolutely, but both Twitter and Facebook, because the calls are to both platforms, have guidelines and rules against the spreading of hate and against incitement to violence. And so we saw first that the Women's March sent out an action alert calling with a petition calling for Facebook and Twitter to permanently suspend Trump's accounts, and we at Code Pink followed that up with our own action alert, and we encourage people to go to codepink.org/IlhanOmar, that's IlhanOmar, and you can take action there to send an email to Facebook and Twitter, and then to tweet and post at those platforms. We're calling for them to both take down Trump's disgusting and dangerous video and to suspend his accounts.
So, of course, the question becomes, will these social media platforms actually do so? Recently, Twitter, one of the spokespeople from Twitter was asked about the fact that Trump seems to routinely violate their code of conduct. And yet, because he you know, sits in the highest office in the land, is allowed to do so, whereas the rest of us actually have to abide by certain rules. And the response was that because this is a president, it's a newsworthy issue, and that Twitter is considering labeling his tweets as violating the standards or the code of conduct. Is that even nearly enough?
Well, I'd actually say that would be a good start. If Twitter starts labeling his tweets as violating their standards, then we have more cause to put pressure on Twitter to actually remove him. And this is a moment that we need grassroots pressure. So we need everybody to take action at this point and say this is unacceptable.
So I also feel that the attacks on Ilhan Omar are part of a broader strategy on the right to demonize particularly the incredible crop of women of color that have entered Congress. Ilhan Omar, you know, stands alongside women like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley and others, all of whom are much more likely and capable of speaking to issues that the Democratic Party establishment fears speaking to, such as the U.S.'s unconditional support of Israel, etc. And there was a study by Media Matters, I'm not sure if you saw it, Media Matters for America, showing how obsessed Fox News has been about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They mentioned her in the last 42 days, every single day, for a total of more than 3,000 times. That too makes her a target, you know, of violence, particularly for the sort of, you know, right-wing armed viewers of Fox News and supporters of Donald Trump, right?
Well, what I didn't happen to see that, but I did see that Pelosi on Sunday spoke to 60 Minutes and completely tried to discount and discredit these fabulous progressive leaders in Congress who are speaking from the will of the grassroots, from the will of the people, and demanding real change and presenting a real alternative to what got Donald Trump elected.
And actually, we played that clip in our headlines. Why don't we play it one more time?
So you are contending with a group in Congress over here. On the left flank are these self-described socialists. On the right, these moderates. And you yourself said that you're the only one who can unify everybody. And the question is, can you?
By and large, whatever orientation they came to Congress with, they know that we have to hold the center, that we have to go down the mainstream.
They know that?
They do.
But it doesn't look like that. It looks as if it's fractured.
She likes to minimize the conflicts within her caucus between the moderates and the progressives.
You have these wings, AOC and her group on one side.
Well, it's like five people.
No, it's the progressive group. It's more than
five. I'm a progressive.
And that is Nancy Pelosi speaking to Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes, CBS's 60 Minutes. Leslie, you know, she's basically tried to dismiss AOC's sort of cohort of colleagues as about five people. And when Leslie Stahl said, no, there's more progressives than that, Nancy Pelosi immediately asserted, well, I'm a progressive. Is she? Is Nancy Pelosi really a progressive?
I would love to see Nancy Pelosi become a progressive. Nancy Pelosi is very sadly supporting the U.S. military coup in Venezuela. She fails repeatedly to speak up and act for Palestinian rights. She was not one of the leaders that got the war powers resolution passed recently to end U.S. involvement in the Saudi-led war on Yemen. It's people instead like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like Ro Khanna, like Representative Jayapal, Pocan, and these fabulous new women, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Ayanna Pressley, who are leading the way. And while they may be only more than five, absolutely, even if we look just at five of them, while they are five people, their constituencies extend, their support extends far, far beyond just their constituencies.
And I should mention that and it's not just Fox News, of course, who's egging on violence against these women of color in Congress, but some in the print media as well. Notably, the New York Post last week published a front page picture of the 9/11 attacks and took Ilhan Omar's quote from her CARE speech completely out of context. 9/11 was some people did something, and then with under the image of the two Twin Towers burning, it said, here's your something. So this particular newspaper, which of course is constantly sounding support for President Trump and his right-wing policies is also part and parcel of the problem alongside Trump's Twitter account, alongside Fox News, right?
I would say that the New York Post was really what prompted Trump, likely, that was ahead of Trump's repulsive video. On an encouraging note, in response to that repulsive New York Post front page, Yemeni store owners in New York City, and the Yemeni American population owns a large percentage of the bodegas in New York City, are boycotting and refusing to sell at this point the New York Post. So grassroots people power absolutely can make a difference. We can shame the New York Post, we can hurt their sales, and we can keep working on getting Trump off of social media.
So what do you think needs to happen in addition to people being able to sign this petition and speak up with to Facebook and Twitter and not give Trump a platform for his hate? What do you want the Democratic Party to do? Nancy Pelosi called on Trump to stop doing what he was doing. She's also ensured that Ilhan Omar has greater security, calling on Capitol Police to enhance her security. Of course, it's absolutely imperative, right, that Ilhan Omar be kept safe.
Well, let's remember that it's not just Ilhan Omar and her family who are at risk from Trump and Fox News and this white nationalist movement, but the entire Muslim American community. And that's something that everybody can take action on in their own communities.
The images of 9/11 being used to invoke anger towards Ilhan Omar is reminiscent of something that goes far further back, I feel, and that hasn't been raised that much, that even before Trump was president, we recall Trump making claims that after the September 11th attacks, Muslims were cheering on the attackers and the terrorists, which, of course, was then something that fed into his calling for the Muslim ban the minute he came into office. All of that's part of this framework, right?
Sure. Well, we remember that it was the images of 9/11 that led us into the Iraq War based on a set of lies. And, you know, the results of that, we continue to see the ramifications, just horrific. And we do not want to let such horrific images and such vile hatred drive us to further violence, whether it be wars against Iran or whether it be attacks on the American Muslim community.
How do you think these attacks on Ilhan Omar are being interpreted by the rest of the media? I mean, the right-wing media, of course, is part of the problem. But what about the mainstream corporate media? Do you feel that there is enough of a connecting of dots, enough of a calling out of Trump and what he's doing?
Well, I would like to see more of the Jewish establishment speak out for Ilhan Omar and refute these false claims of anti-Semitism, because this is actually where it began, the attacks on Ilhan Omar, falsely accusing her of anti-Semitism for speaking about the influence of the Israel lobby, for talking about Palestinian rights and for having that braveness. And so I would like to see, rather than keeping this in just one area, really looking at this broader picture, and I would love to see more Jewish establishment speak out.
And the situation, of course, with Palestinian rights is quite dire. We, of course, see the re-election to a fifth term by an Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just last week, who has promised to unleash more violence on Palestinians by simply annexing the West Bank. And you have so few defenders of Palestinian rights in Congress to begin with. Many have suggested that Netanyahu really got help from Trump, that sort of moral support from Trump to veer as far right as he possibly could. But the counterbalance in Congress to that approach is really led by people like Ilhan Omar, right?
The Israeli election was one of the most hateful elections of all time. So we had such things as Netanyahu creating an alliance with the Jewish Power Party there, commonly referred to as the Jewish KKK, a party so vile and racist that they're actually on the U.S. terror list. And for a long time, and currently still their leader, are banned from Knesset. During the actual election, Likud put over 1,200 hidden cameras in the voting booths of in the Palestinian towns inside of Israel, and Trump supported Netanyahu, you know, to the extent of really giving him election gifts. We had the Golan Heights and so much more. People like Ilhan Omar are one of the few in Congress who are willing to take brave stands against racism and hatred from the U.S. to Israel, to the fascist leader of Brazil, Bolsonaro, standing up against the U.S.-Saudi relationship. And we need more to support her. But instead, after the false accusations of anti-Semitism against her began, it was many members and leaders in Congress, including Elliot Engel, who introduced a resolution originally intended just to condemn Ilhan Omar. Thanks to a lot of hard grassroots work, it ended up being the first resolution in Congress to condemn Islamophobia. But I would like to see Nancy Pelosi and other leaders in Congress introduce a resolution condemning this vile attack that Donald Trump has been engaged in against Representative Omar.
Right. I mean, it seems as though the Democrats are a little bit muddled. They're not quite sure where they should be landing on this issue. And in a way, the debate around Ilhan Omar seems to call for some clarity. If you're either on the side of oppressors or on the side of the oppressed, you're either on the side of Ilhan Omar or on the side of Trump, you're either on the side of Palestinians or you're on the side of Israeli apartheid, right? But the Democrats can't seem to find their footing. Even though the Republicans are very clear where they stand.
Absolutely. Let's be glad that we do have these good number of brave, committed members of Congress who are leading the way, and we need to support them to continue to move the Democratic Party to the left, become a true progressive party.
And it's important, too, of course, that Ilhan Omar have a cadre of supporters around her, that she isn't just, you know, the only one who got elected last November, that she got elected alongside women like Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that this sort of strength in numbers, even if it may be small numbers, is quite important, and that she doesn't stand alone within her party. She should be getting far more support than she's actually getting. But, you know, it seems as though the Republican Party and Donald Trump, and even to a small extent, the Democratic Party, has a problem with opinionated women of color in Congress. I mean, that's the optics of it to me.
You said it, a problem with opinionated women of color in Congress.
There we go. And of course, that also applies to longer term women of color in Congress, like Maxine Waters. Ariel, give out that website again for the petition around Ilhan Omar.
Yes. That's codepink.org/Ilhan Omar.
And we'll link to that from our website. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Ariel Gold is National Co-Director of Code Pink, and she manages the organization's campaigns for Palestinian rights. We've been discussing President Donald Trump's inciting of violence against Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.